Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 357 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Brandy Sullivan. Thank you, Brandy.
Thanks, Brandy.
Thanks, Brandy.
So today we will be discussing part two of chapter 21 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, the tale of the three brothers. So make sure that you have read the chapter and you're ready to quest your way through the details. And I'm really sorry to everyone's ears. That was very loud.
I probably just spiked on there.
I'm so sorry.
Actually, it really didn't.
Mm-hmm. Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Whatever.
Oh no, it's this weekend.
Oh no, it's gonna reset.
No. Oh no.
Oh no, oh no, where are we at?
I need to know. I don't know.
Oh, for sure I'm losing.
Oh, I owe nobody anything.
How is that possible?
Because I'm really good at it.
I don't know, Meg. You know, because I jinx her outside and I forget to text.
It's not my problem.
I'm just saying that's the reason why.
Uh-huh.
Ma'am? Is Katie losing?
Oh,
probably.
Yeah.
So we have to get you something?
Yeah.
God. Carrington Bear's here!
Hey, Carrie.
What up, Carrington Bear?
Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they will too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flickcast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going and gives you access to all of our exclusive extras. As always, we are accepting Potter stories or just any fun stuff, questions, or concerns to our email, which is swishflickcast@gmail.com.
All right. Yeah. Oh, it's your turn.
Oh, yeah.
It's recap time!
All right. Last time we had Harry asking Zeno about the symbol he was wearing at the wedding, and he told them all about the Deathly Hallows and the quest. Hermione reads them the tale of the three brothers from Beetle the Bard, but she's skeptical. Because the Deathly Hallows can't be real, right?
Right, everyone? Right?
No, right?
We can't bring people back from the dead, right?
I don't like doing it.
Is that a pretty picture? I don't like doing it.
Is that other than SpongeBob?
That? Oh, no. We have to leave her.
You can't come this weekend.
This ruffle is over.
What is it from?
You can't come this weekend.
Say it again.
No. No one post in there.
Is it Emperor's New Groove?
Keep dig a little deeper in your hole.
Is it Tiana?
No. I knew that was gonna confuse her.
Is it Aladdin?
Yes.
Yeah, but you only said that because Michigan Mike.
This is another point for you being Michigan Mike. Go blah, blah.
I didn't. To be fair.
No.
I didn't really hear you guys.
Okay, meaty bits.
I have ADHD. You have to love me for who I am.
What do we have? sick of it.
What did you say?
No, now you have to ride the magic carpets by yourself.
You know what?
I will. No, you have to get spit on by the camel. You have to stand right in the path.
The camel?
I said camel.
You said camel.
Play it back.
We're going to fight before we leave.
Thank you, Mike.
He said he's got my back.
Whatever.
Is it my turn now?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I wrote Xeno because I didn't want to write Xenophilius every single time.
Same. Big same.
Okay. So Xenophilius gets a bit excited because Hermione actually knows something that he's talking about, right? He tells her that she has been misleading him. He's actually goggling at her, right? And he tells them that he thought that she was new to the Hallows Quest. And I love that it's actually called Hallows Quest.
That sounds like an epic fantasy card game.
Why did you post that?
I don't know.
I'm offended.
Sorry.
If you're not in Discord, you need to be, because then you'll know what we're talking about. Okay. He thought that she was new to the Hallows Quest and to the Peverell family, and that they have everything to do with the Deathly Hallows.
Everything.
I love that you just listened to it. I did. So you know what I'm talking about. Oh, man. So Ron, who is usually like our Wizarding World go-to guy, not in the movies, because Hermione takes all those things away, but in the books, he's usually the guy that tells us the deeper things about the Wizarding World or like stuff that, you know, people who are raised in the Wizarding World will just know. And he goes on later to say some more things. But he doesn't know the Peverell name, the pure blood name that has died out. And I wonder if Molly or Arthur have heard of them. Only because...
Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah. But, like, not that they would be the type of family to be like, okay, let's study the Sacred 28. Like, right. You know, who's pure blood? So it's just interesting. Just a little interesting to me that he doesn't know. But because I feel like we know about like certain quest type dealies, right? It's your first time podcasting.
Printing our boarding passes again.
No.
Your printer isn't here.
No, I forgot to post the schedule in Discord.
Oh.
So everyone's getting it right now.
Cool beans.
That's all.
So we know like the Holy Grail quest, right? Yeah. So like people have heard of that. So it's just interesting to me that like Ron hasn't heard of this at all. So the Peverell name pops up in the graveyard in Godric's Hollow, which is what I believe part of Dumbledore's plan for Hermione. I think that Dumbledore really, really counted on Harry's want and I think need to go to Godric's Hollow to see the grave of his parents, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that part of giving her the tales of Beedle the Bard with the Deathly Hallow symbol in it, I think he really counted on, which is just a crazy amount of chance, by the way. Which
I just hear McGee, sheer dumb luck.
It is sheer dumb luck. I think that he maybe thought that he was going to have some more time. He didn't. But he really counted on Hermione searching the graveyard thoroughly with Harry. I think he thought that they would maybe go as a group of three. And I think he got really lucky because of A, them doing all of this, B, all of the snow. And I think the location of the grave of the Peverell of Ignosius and the Potters was pretty convenient. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Do you think if Dumbledore hadn't had his time cut short, like if he had the time that he thought he had to prepare Harry for this, right? Do you think that they would have gone to Godric's Hollow as part of like the let's learn about Voldemort? Because that's also his past too.
I'm not sure because it's Horcruxes and not Hallows, right?
Yeah. I guess I was just thinking like Half-Blood Prince where they're like going down Voldy memory lane. So like it would involve like Harry becoming the Horcrux. But he couldn't know that till the end anyway. So yeah, no, that wouldn't make sense.
But I feel like had he had more time, maybe that's a trip that Harry would have asked.
Yeah.
But even you have to remember in 6, he didn't know that Dumbledore's family had anything to do with that.
He didn't know till, you know, like a month ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe less.
Maybe less. But I think a lot of what his plans for Hermione really worked out in their favor.
Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, that girl's smart. She'll get it, right?
It's like, oh, they're going to be looking for graves. You're lucky that you're actually looking and notice this. Mm-hmm. Quote, the sign of the Deathly Hallows on Ignatius's grave is conclusive proof. Of what, asked Ron? Why, that the three brothers in the story were actually the three, you're missing threes. Three Peveril brothers, Antioch, Cadmus, and Ignotus. That they were the original owners of the Hallows. And so at this point, Xenophilius just like takes the tray really abruptly, walks down the spiral stairs and is like, are you staying for dinner? And he's like, everyone requests our recipe for freshwater blimpy soup. Who are these people requesting this? Because I don't think so. And there is an absolutely underrated Ron quote here.
Hit me with it.
And I think I've glossed over it literally every read. Quote, probably to show the poisoning department at St. Mungo's, said Ron under his breath. Like, what a time, Ronald Weasley. He's still in this house pretty close, and you're just, you know, throwing out zingers. All right, so would you believe it that on the 30th of December in 1997, whilst Harry Potter, Ronald Weasley, and Hermione Granger were visiting Xenophilius Lovegood in his house, he told the trio that people often requested this recipe. It is a soup.
Wait, what day is this?
December 30th.
That's Voldemort's birthday. No. Also.
Isn't it the 31st?
I thought it was the 30th.
I could be wrong.
Well, it is Cad's birthday. Not in the story, like our Cad.
Wait, is it the 30th or the 31st?
I'm going to look it up.
I thought it was the 31st.
It's the 31st.
Oh, man.
Suck it.
All right, well, it's his birthday eve.
So your cat's evil?
No.
Liar.
He was born on the 30th. So he's one day away. That's why he's got a sweet side and the other half is insanity.
You will be disappointed to know that Jacob's sibling has not had this soup.
Darn.
Thank God.
Gosh darn it. I was really hopeful.
I was really hopeful too. That is a letdown.
Don't worry. I'm sure they had like Crumplehorn Snorkack stir fry or something.
Oh my God. Can you imagine?
It's probably delicious. All right. Harry waited to say what he was thinking until Xenophilius was busy in the kitchen. And then he's like, okay, guys, what do you really think? And Hermione is like, this is rubbish. And then Ron goes to say that he basically doesn't believe it either.
He changes his mind so quickly.
Well, he's impressionable. And he's also trying. He's also trying to get back into Hermione's good graces at this point still. So we have these little glimpses into the wizarding world that I love, that just make it seem more real, you know, and relatable as muggles. So Ron goes on to say, nah, that story is just one of those things you tell kids to teach them lessons, isn't it? Don't go. Oh, wait, hold on. Is this Ron or Harry? No, it's Ron. Don't go looking for trouble. Don't pick fights. Don't go messing around with stuff that's best left alone. Just keep your head down, mind your own business, and you'll be okay. Come to think of it, Ron added, maybe that story is why elder wands are supposed to be unlucky. What are you talking about? One of those superstitions, isn't it? Mayborn wishes will marry muggles, jinx by twilight, undone by midnight, wand of elder, never prosper. You must have heard them. My mom's full of them. And so Hermione's like, we were raised by muggles. Did you forget? And
once again,
I love when he asks if Cinderella's an illness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good
one. That's
one
of my favorite things. And so Hermione is starting to come out of her icy shell with him. And she's like, the one good thing about her exasperation with Xenophilius is that it seemed to have made her forget that she was annoyed at Ron. I think you're right, she told him. It's just a morality tale. It's obvious which gift is best, which one you'd choose. And
this is so funny.
I love this because it's so telling of them, right? Mm-hmm. And their personalities. Quote, the three of them spoke at the same time. Hermione said the cloak, Ron said the wand, and Harry said the stone. They looked at each other, half surprised, half amused. And Ron's like, you're supposed to say the cloak. Like, that's what the good moral of the story is, right? You need to just, like, keep your head down and all of the things that he said before. And that's what, you know, all the good eggs would want. But they have this little argument about the cloak and not being able to keep your mouth shut if you had the unbeatable wand, which, if truth be told, I don't think Ron would be able to. No. He would immediately be dead.
Yeah.
Dumbledore was a great owner of the Elder Wand because he didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
Quote, you know, the only true thing he said to us was there have been stories about an extra powerful wand for hundreds of years. Ding, 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 ding. You got it, girl. But Ollivander will later confirm this at Shell Cottage. Because sleeping through and passing out in Professor Binns' class isn't enough for them to get the information, right? We can't just sit through a class for a whole year and remember these things. Because we don't really take the class, right, guys? But Hermione's like, we learned about this. Fools.
Fools.
But she doesn't really...
Imbeciles.
Idiots.
Idiots. Oh, I love when at the end when she's like, you imbecile.
Are you talking about Cruella?
Yeah.
Okay. The other imbeciles I like is
Maleficent.
Maleficent, yeah. When she laughs at all her cronies because they've been searching for a baby for 18 years. And she just like maniacally just like loses her mind for a second.
And she like kicks them down the stairs.
And she's like, idiots, imbeciles. It's so funny.
Those, her little crony guys look like Legend of Zelda.
People. They do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
I wonder if they're like the same illustrators of the time.
Has a replica of Majora's mask.
They do. It's pretty cool looking. Like the mask itself.
I don't want to alarm anybody, but I almost cried right then. What do you mean?
I'll find
out. Like my nose got really tingly, like I was gonna cry.
What do you mean? That was like the Jennifer Lawrence meme of her eating the hot wings. What do you mean?
What do you mean? And how much is it?
It's like, it's probably like this big.
It's $65? Dear patrons.
Yeah, but you can wear it.
Would you like to sponsor my Majora's mask? I want it for down here.
That'd be cool. Highlights, intricate mask texture.
Tell Marty you want it for Christmas.
What does that mean?
You get a display stand with it.
Precious. Okay. Anyways. We were supposed to have learned about this in Professor Binns' class, but we slept through it / passed out / was possessed. So, Hermione will finally believe that the Elder Wand is what it is and what Harry's been telling her, but not until Ollivander confirms it for her. Okay. The quote, the death stick, the wand of destiny, they crop up under different names through the centuries, usually in the possession of some dark wizards who's boasting about them. Professor Binns mentioned some of them, but oh, it's all nonsense. Wands are just as wands are only as powerful as the wizards who use them. No, ma'am. Some wizards just like to boast that theirs are bigger and better than others. But the funny thing is that Ollivander literally says these nicknames later on. The Death Stick, the Wand of Destiny, the Elder Wand, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the other
nickname. The Unbeatable
Wand? Yeah, there's more.
Something like that.
Yeah. And so Harry brings up a very good point next, and it's immediately overlooked. And he says, because she says they're wands, plural.
Mm-hmm.
But all of those nicknames are for...
One wand.
A singular wand, right. So he says, Harry says, quote... But how do you know, said Harry, that those wands, the Death Stick and the Wand of Destiny, aren't the same wand surfacing over the centuries under different names? And it's forgotten. That's forgotten in this conversation.
So Harry has like a Hermione moment And it's just forgotten.
And it's just forgotten. It's glossed over.
Harry, you had Harry. It. You had it.
And so they go on to talk about the Hallows. And Harry says that he would use the stone to bring back people. And he names Sirius, Mad-Eye, Dumbledore, and his parents. And it gets a little bit weird and uncomfy. Not as much as later on when they talk about the stone. But, you know, Plimpy soup is almost ready. And it's a disgusting smell coming from the kitchen. We gotta end this conversation, right?
Plimpy soup.
We were making up a song for Fillmore to that song earlier.
Loved it.
Oh my god, he was losing his mind. It was so cute. I said, he's a stinky pooch doo 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 stinky pooch doo 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 doo.
Yeah. Very Frito Feedy.
Oh, it's Phil's ears.
Yeah, Phil's got dirty sock ears. Okay. Anyway, back to Harry Potter. What about the cloak, though? So Ron talks about how he never stopped to think about how infallible Harry's cloak is. Like,
is
his,
it, though?
I just said his cloak is different, except with Moody, apparently. But anyway. But all the stuff he said about other cloaks, and they're not exactly ten a nut, you know? It's
just, a nut.
It's true. It's never occurred to me before, but I've heard stuff about charms wearing off cloaks when they get old or them being ripped apart by spells so they've got holes in it. Harry's was owned by his dad, so it's not exactly new, is it? But it's just perfect.
Is it, Ronald?
Hermione still pushes back, though, about the stone. But Harry then noticed his own face was looking back at him. I love this part so much.
It's emotional.
And he realized that it was not a mirror. It was a painting. And he started climbing up the stairs because it was the stairs to Luna's bedroom. And she had painted all of them. This is an excerpt from the book.
Okay, official.
God. This is an expert.
Actually, this is a quote. And it's an excerpt. If you turn in your official first edition.
Oh, my God. Luna had
wear your white gloves.
What?
What?
Wear your white gloves.
Oh. These lashes are very delicate.
I cannot with you guys. Luna had decorated her bedroom ceiling with five beautifully painted faces. Harry, Ron, Hermione, Ginny, and Neville. They were not moving as the portraits at Hogwarts moved, but there was a certain magic about them all the same. Harry thought they breathed. What appeared to be fine golden chairs, chains?
Chairs. Draw a chair.
I like read that and was like, that's not right. Okay.
Oh my God.
What appeared to be fine golden chains wove around the pictures, linking them together. But after examining them for a minute or so, Harry realized that the chains were actually one word repeated 1,000 times in golden ink. Friends, friends, friends.
Aww.
So Harry's looking around her room and he sees a photo of Luna and a woman on her bedside table, I think. But the picture was dusty and he just like got this feeling that something was wrong.
Mm.
The carpet was even thick with dust and there were no clothes in the wardrobe, but it was sitting wide open. I just have to say.
Mm-hmm.
The way that this room is described is as if no one has stepped into it for months or years.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't track for timing. You know what I mean?
Like, there was dust on the picture frame.
And he says that, like, thick dust on the carpet. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That seems weird to me.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like that she would have been home in the summer.
Correct.
Right.
Like, there's no way that the dust would be like that.
No.
In 4 months.
Yeah.
I don't think so, at least.
A couple people in the chat are suggesting perhaps, like, the printing press generated a lot of dust.
Possible.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's possible.
So, okay, can I say this now? Because months from now, I might not remember.
Sure.
I was listening to the end of Deathly Hallows, and you're talking about the dust on the carpet. When Harry comes back out of the Pensieve from Snape's memories, he also...
Did your kids just drop marbles?
I don't know.
I hope that picks up.
What is?
Oh my goodness. What are they doing?
I don't know.
Oh, Carrie said we all heard that one.
Gosh. Anyways, Harry's laying face down on Dumbledore's carpet, and it's described as dusty as well. And I know that we see Snape in that office, but I wonder how much he's actually in there, if it's too hard.
That's true.
So, thoughts to think, sadly.
So Hermione asks Harry what was wrong as he comes back downstairs, and it was at the same time as Xenophilius reaching the top of the stairs coming up from the kitchen. And Harry asks where Luna was, and you can tell that this catches Xenophilius off guard a little bit. He just kind of like stops. He's like, I've already told you she's fishing for Plimpies.
Liar.
And he then asks, Harry asks, well, why did you only lay the tray out for four then? And
for being a Ravenclaw.
Right. He's silent and he starts shaking. And Harry says, I don't think Luna's been here for weeks. Her clothes are gone. Her bed hasn't been slept in. Where is she? And why do you keep looking out the window? And this is when Xenophilius drops the tray. And all three of them, Harry, Ron, and Hermione, draw their wands. And the printing press finally falls silent. And Hermione grabs one and shows it to Harry. And on the front of the Quibbler, it has Harry's picture. And it says, undesirable number one, and captioned with the reward money. And
10,000 gallons.
I feel bad for Xenophilius in this moment.
Mm-hmm. It's a desperate man, you know?
Eh.
Yeah.
We could have done it a whole different way.
Well, for sure.
For sure. We could have teamed up. Sure. Yes,
for sure. But I think he just... feels lost.
I think he's terrified of those Death Eaters that keep popping in too.
He's terrified.
I know.
So he whispers, he says, they took my Luna because of what I've been writing. They took my Luna and I don't know where she is, what they've done to her, but they might give her back to me if I hand over Harry. Hermione finishes for him. No deal, said Ron flatly. Get out of the way. We're leaving. Xenophilius looked ghastly, a century old, his lips drawn back into a dreadful leer. They will be here at any moment. I must save Luna. I cannot lose Luna. You must not leave. And Hermione screams because she sees figures on broomsticks fly past the windows. Xenophilius draws his wand, and Harry realizes what's about to happen just in time because he then launches himself sideways, and he shoves Ron and Hermione out of the way of a stunning spell that was cast at them by Xenophilius. And it ricochets and hits the Arumpent horn.
My spell ricochets.
That was good.
Thanks.
That was good. And there is a colossal explosion. So the sound of it seemed to blow the room apart. Fragments of wood and paper and rubble flew in all directions, along with an impenetrable cloud of thick white dust. Harry flew through the air, then crashed to the floor, unable to see as debris rained upon him, his arms over his head.
How are these people not dead?
I don't know.
Because, like,
luck.
Lily's protection, blast, pretty right? much.
So.
Catherine.
Arumpent horns are a Class B tradable material.
Thank you, Hermione.
Yeah, what is with you today?
It's from the wiki.
The way you read it.
I was making fun of Hermione.
The Class B tradable. I love you.
They are a highly prized potion ingredient. Limited trade, likely due to the danger that they pose. They can also be used as decorations, according to Xenophilius.
If you'd like to perish.
Right. Oh, we do have a Jacob sibling spotting.
Do tell.
So during the 1990 to 1991 school year, a wizard dropped an Arumpent horn.
What a dummy.
In Northumberland, causing an explosion. Fortunately, wizards at the scene were able to protect Muggle bystanders. The incident was investigated and covered up by the British Ministry of Magic. Among those who handed the case was Jacob's sibling, who was working with the ministry as part of their student program.
Of course. Ministry loving git.
Right?
Yeah. What student program?
During the calamity.
The calamity.
Which affected the wizarding world in the 2010s.
Yeah.
Arumpent horns were used as ingredients in the brewing of the tonic for trace detection by wizards and witches of the Statute of Secrecy Task Force.
What an ingredient.
Right?
Mm. Every time I hear calamity, I think of that all-time low song.
I think of Calamity Ganon. You'd know if you'd play the game.
Which game? Oh, Zelda. Sorry. Also, in case you don't remember, we do see an Arumpent in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Is that the dance?
Mm-hmm. The mating dance, yeah.
Ooh. Yep. Oh. See, I knew I liked you, Mike. Mike started playing Breath of the Wild for the first time. You know what? I've gotten a few messages of people, like, saying they heard me like it so much and they decided to give it a try. And, like, that's that so might cool. be my mission in life.
Everyone try this game.
Mm-hmm.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're definitely not alone. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. And then there's the natural hormone changes our bodies go through. As a mom, I totally get this. There's also perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we have to suffer through it. The good news is you don't have to suffer anymore. Yay. Because we now have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it definitely shows. And the biggest benefit is feeling like yourself again. And that's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code SWISH at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code SWISH for 15% off today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Is it moi?
Yeah, it's your turn.
You hear my wrist crack?
Yeah, that was your wrist.
That's kind of gross.
You're sick of me.
Well, we've been doing a lot of manual labor this weekend.
We really have.
All right, so they're half buried in rubble. Poor Harry's trying to get up. Can barely see or breathe because of this white dust. I wonder if that's like a trademark thing of an exploded Arumpent horn. Or is it just all the stuff that exploded?
I think it's probably the white dust.
I feel like it's probably the house.
Yeah.
It's a rook.
So what does this scene look like? Half the ceiling has fallen in. Luna's bed is dangling through that hole in the ceiling. And just because we want like that last quick little reminder so that later on Harry can go, oh, I remember that. When it's important, we get a glimpse of the bust of Rowena Ravenclaw laying right next to him, even though her face is half missing.
Kind of scary.
There is parchment floating in the air like snow. The printing press is on its side and blocking the stairs, which is very helpful for them mm-hmm. in a little bit. So he sees Hermione and she just puts her finger to her lips like, be quiet. So the door downstairs, they hear it open. Quote, didn't I tell you there was no need to hurry, Travers, said a rough voice. Didn't I tell you this nutter was just raving as usual? There was a bang and a scream of pain from Xenophilius. No, upstairs, Potter. I know he did a bad thing. I know he's continuing to do a bad thing, but I still feel bad. It's a double-edged sword, you know? So they
Tiffany
take this time.
Feels no remorse.
I know, none at all.
I just think he's really dumb.
I mean, there's way more things he could have done instead of what he did.
Especially, like, he knows that everybody should be on Team Harry.
Yeah.
And he could have done it a different way.
Totally. I wonder if he just, like, you know, he was being so defiant with, like, you know, actually printing stuff in favor of Harry. Maybe he thought he was, like, untouchable. And then here they come and take his kid. He doesn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Well, he probably thinks, like, you know, I mean, think about all the stuff that, like, Rita Skeeter put in print for so long. Like, and she was still able to write whatever she wanted. Like, I'm unaware of the laws and such in Great Britain, but, like, here there's freedom of press, right? So, like, the press can put out what they want without repercussions.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not even going to try to pretend that I know the laws over there, but
yeah.
Well, and who knows if the wizarding laws even follow that, you know?
Exactly. But like, he probably felt some sort of sense of safety because it was journalism, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
And it was taken away from him. I don't know.
So these two, who we will find out are Travers and Selwyn, two Death Eaters, they take their time not only to make fun of Zeno, but also to torture him some more. So we get a little backstory that he's been trying to get Luna back for the past couple weeks. So last week, he tried to bargain with the headdress that he made on top of the Ravenclaw bust. The week before that, he told them that he would give them proof of the Crumplehorn Snorkak. And each time they're bringing something up, they're casting some sort of spell to hurt him more. And Zeno tries to convince them, like, really, no, Potter is upstairs. Like, you need to believe me. And the one Death Eater tells him that he's a lying piece of filth. He probably never even met Harry Potter. And he's like, you thought that you could lure us here, blow us up. Probably. That's why I'm thinking, like, he's got to be terrified of these guys. They must make. They're probably making regular visits to make sure he's printing undesirable number one.
I wonder if they forced him to print that.
Probably.
It probably, you know, they held Luna against him in more than one way. So he's like, I swear Harry's upstairs. And then we actually have some smart Death Eaters here because they cast
Hummus Revelio.
So Harry hears Hermione gasp, and then I like the description of this, like the spell going over them. Harry felt like something was swooping low over him and, like, covering his body in its shadow.
Does he have the cloak on right now?
No, not right now.
Not yet.
Not yet. Actually, no, he doesn't wear it. Ron does.
Right.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's right.
So Trevor says, there's someone up there, all right, Selwyn. So let's see if my little search here did anything. Selwyn, you know, let's see. He's a British wizard. Pure blood. You know? Fought in several battles along with Travers. So these two are just like destined to be nobodies, I guess.
They're also both part of the Sacred
28. Yeah. I knew Selwyn was.
Travers is too.
Travers was, he helped with the murder of Marlene McKinnon and her family and was imprisoned for that during the first Wizarding War. So he's got a little bit more information, but we've met them before. Here they are again. Doing their baddie stuff.
Yeah.
So Zeno is begging with them that Harry is up there and to please just give him Luna. He just wants Luna back. And Selwyn says, go ahead.
Mia said Selwyn is who Umbridge tried to claim a connection to.
Yeah.
With the locket.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because they're both
on the bad side. Yeah. Like, wouldn't he be like,
doesn't Selwyn work for the ministry?
Yeah, wouldn't he be like, she's
wouldn't you be like, you ain't in my tree? Or do you think she threatened him?
I don't know.
Who's to say?
Don't know. You can have your little girl, Lovegood, said Selwyn, if you get up those stairs and bring me down Harry Potter. But if this is a plot, if it's a trick, if you've got an accomplice waiting up there to ambush us, we'll see if we can spare a bit of your daughter for you to bury. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Zeno gives this sound of fear and despair. So yeah, these two haunt his nightmares. Like,
it's not their first time over.
No. So he starts hurrying through, like, there's debris, there's the clutter of his house, there's the printing press in the way, which is buying the trio a little bit of time. So Harry's like, guys, we need to get out of here, like, right now. Ron's buried the deepest. He's under this chest of drawers. Harry and Hermione try to help him. Hermione has to free him with a hover charm, which, that's so smart.
Tis.
Because I would have just been
you
like,
wanna know what?
Reminds sorry, me. You're stuck.
Reminds me of Onward. Whenever Ian? Yeah. Lifts the burning wood thing in words are failing me right now.
In the Manticore's Tavern.
The Manticore's Tavern. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Yeah. I can see it.
Yeah.
In my mind's eye.
Yeah. That is the best Pixar movie.
It's so good.
At least I'm safe inside my mind.
Have you seen that yet, Tiffany?
You haven't seen Onward? Your kid was just asking for a movie night, so guess what we're watching?
Onward.
Okay.
Look, William says it's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. Mia!
Anyone who hasn't seen it is grounded, and you're not ungrounded until you watch it.
Watch it on your flight to Florida.
Do I have to be alone? Oh, no. I'm grounded.
No, you have to be with people. That's your
punishment. It's mean.
Oh, yeah, my William, God, I also
guys,
cried.
It's so... I'm not kidding when I say, in my opinion, it's currently the best Pixar film.
It's way up there.
Really?
Yes.
So good.
It's the one I watch the most.
That's crazy.
Put it in.
All of you are freaking grounded.
Oh, my.
Yeah. See? It is a punishment, Tiff. You're with people. Okay, so they see that Zeno starts trying to move the printing press out of the way because he's desperate to get to Harry, show these guys he's really here. And Hermione says, do you trust me, Harry? And Harry immediately just nods, like, no questions. Let's just go with whatever Hermione's going to plan. So she has Ron put the invisibility cloak on and grab her shoulder. And she has Harry grab her hand. And at first, so she's like, Ron, you take the invisibility cloak. And he's like, what, me? But Harry. And she's like, Ron, please. Like, we don't have time. You just need to listen to me and do what I say.
Yeah.
So the printing press starts to move. And Harry's like, what is Hermione waiting for? Like, let's go. Like, apparate us out or whatever you're doing. But as soon as Xenophilius's face appears, Hermione obliviates him, which protects him, right? Then she blasts a hole in the floor, which apparently has its own spell. It's not Reducto. It's not, what's that? Bombarda. It's Deprimo. There's so many blasting spells. I don't know why there's so many. So they fall through the floor. Harry's holding on to her for dear life. He sees the two Death Eaters just for a second, and then Hermione apparates them. So we'll find out the next time we do the next chapter. She did this on purpose. Ron's supposed to be home, sick with Spattergoit, and she needed them to see Harry so that they knew Xenophilius wasn't lying, so that they wouldn't kill him.
And so that they protected Luna.
Yes.
What?
Would you like to talk about Deprimo?
Yeah.
Would you?
No, I don't. No. If it's used in that game, I don't want to know.
The etymology is pretty cool. Latin means dig deep or press down.
That's cool.
So that's neat.
Dig deep.
It actually...
I don't know. I'm the only one going to Disney. Bye. What's there's from? University, you goons.
I'm sorry. I've seen it a handful of times.
He's trying to get Mike to be scary. He's like,
okay.
Amateurs. Oh, yeah, Carrie, you can come too.
It was in Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone video game.
Okay, that's acceptable.
On the PS1.
Okay. Yeah, throwback.
Also was first identified in Deathly Hallows. Right here, right meow. It's also...
Here we go.
It says that during the night, listen to him. Achoo. He literally says achoo.
Maybe
he's not real.
We have someone who lives by us. We call them loud sneezer because we hear them sneeze every time.
There he goes again. Three sneezes. Count them. Ding.
Achoo.
So sometimes when I know he's going to sneeze, I'll say peek. And then he says achoo. So he says Pikachu.
That was four.
He just did it again. Okay.
Anyways.
What about
okay.
Hogwarts Legacy? No. Hogwarts Mystery.
Five sneezes. It's in Hogwarts Mystery, right? It says that six sneezes. Patricia Rakepick taught this charm to her fifth year defense against the dark arts students.
Patricia who?
Rakepick. And that's in Hogwarts Mystery, year 5, chapter 15. Secrets and Lies.
Rakepick.
Rakepick.
Seven.
Dang!
Seven sneezes. Is he allergic to something up there?
He does this literally every day.
Does he have horcruxes?
Is he allergic to his children?
AIDS!
Carrie, give that man a tissue.
He does this literally every day. In 1991, between September 12th and October 31st.
This is why I can't stand it.
Quirrell cast the spell on the floor underneath an unsuspecting Harry in the dungeons as he was going to collect fireflies for Severus Snape. What is this?
Wait, what?
Nine. It's in the video game. That was in the video game.
Okay, that's fine.
You're welcome. That's all I have, honey.
All right, lightning bolt round.
I wrote down two. But do our listeners first.
No, do yours first because I haven't pulled him yet.
What does a freshwater plimpy taste like?
We got up to 8 sneezes.
No, 9.
9.
All right.
Oh, God.
What does it taste like, Tiffany? What does plimpy taste like?
What's something I don't like?
Catfish. I don't know. Isn't that a freshwater fish?
Are people out here eating catfish?
Is catfish a freshwater fish?
If we're going to go Animal Crossing, we can do a freshwater goby.
Yeah, I like that.
Bad calamari.
I think it tastes like corn dogs.
Corn dogs? I've sunk into this couch.
Cold corn dogs.
I mean, I'd eat that.
Oh my God, I can't wait to get mini corn dogs this weekend.
Ew. Casey's Corner.
Okay, what's your second one, Katie?
Make up another name for the Elder Wand. Be appropriate. So there's the Death Stick, the Wand of Destiny, the Unbeatable Wand.
The Unbeatable Wand, that's the one I was thinking.
The greatest wand that ever lived.
The last great British dynasty.
I don't know. I need more time.
You can't top ours.
No, I just need more time.
Okay. Dustifer. Mm. Were you surprised that Hermione didn't just not believe the Deathly Hallows story, but was completely unwilling to even consider that it might be real? No. No, it just doesn't. Really. Hermione is very concrete, right? Like, she needs to see and know the proof. That's just how she is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Although she's like, oh, magic's real cool.
I know.
But maybe it's just because she was doing magic and she could already see that it was real.
But then there were so many books that she could go and read that proved it. Like, she was skeptical at first. I don't know. And didn't believe it until she got to, like, go to Diagon Alley or something.
Mm. I think she thought it was all a joke like Harry did.
I don't know.
I'm still trying to think of a wand name.
It doesn't surprise me, though. Because that just, it fits her to not believe it at first.
Mm.
Personally, I think.
The Elder of Death.
Oh, that's dark.
Dang. Yeah, I know. It's not my best work, though.
Michigan Mike.
Boo.
Oh, my God. If you could invent one dish using a magical ingredient, what would it be? He would make a dirigible plum tart.
That sounds awesome.
It does.
Mm. Let's see.
Mandrake muffins.
Oh, do you think those would taste good?
Nope, you'd probably die.
Gillyweed ganache.
Oh!
Be awful. Probably tastes like dirt.
I love that we're just rhyming. Or like alliteration.
Alliteration is the best.
Yeah.
Boom slang skin bonbons.
Wow.
With a dash
of Bezoar.
No, but for real, I don't know. Yeah, dirigible plum tart sounds freaking delicious.
Like a Pop-Tart, but wizardly.
Ooh.
What?
That'd be awesome. I bet wizarding Pop-Tarts, though, would actually pop when you open them. That wouldn't be that fun.
Maybe.
Could you imagine just like making just like regular cupcakes, but then putting like crushed up fizzing Whizbees on it or something, you know? So then
they're yummy.
Those make you float, right?
Yeah.
They make you hover. You just eat a cupcake and hover.
Marcus would like to know if dirigible plum tart would give you gas. I would say absolutely.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. The way that they like hang upside down. The way that they float. Gas in there. Yeah.
Totally toot.
Yeah. Dusty, for which hollow would you want? The cloak.
Yeah.
The stone. I don't need them for always. I just like to chat.
Yeah, but they get so unhappy.
You, can you do
I'm
that?
Giving them 5 minutes of your time.
Like, man.
5 minutes of your everlasting afterlife you can spare.
I just got out of my everlasting bath. Ugh. Ruined my day. The afterlife.
Oh my God. I just immediately was picturing a tub full of everlasting ghosts.
That would suck. Those things are spiky.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, the real time life ones.
From Willy Wonka.
No, the ones from the original Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
They're spiky? I don't remember that.
Yeah. Well, they're like ridged.
No, they're spiky.
They're ridged.
Look it up.
Kendra asks, could you keep quiet if you had the Elder Wand?
I'd be too scared, yeah. Be like, nobody come hurt me.
Yeah. I feel like
she come hurt me.
I feel like I could.
I wouldn't want it, though.
That's what I was about to say. I don't think I wouldn't want it either.
Yeah, that's too much.
Let's see. I'm going to pick two more. Oh, Marguerite says, would you do this for the Swish Common Room, a painting that has gold lettering saying friends on the border with a photo of you three?
That'd be cute.
I love that.
That would be so cute. And last one from Katie K. Are you observant enough to realize Luna hadn't been there, or would you have been oblivious?
I think the dust gives it away.
I think I would have started. I would have started realizing, like, he keeps saying she's coming. Like, where is she?
Yeah.
If I hadn't noticed her bedroom when he came back and was like, here's the plimpy soup, I'd have been like, wasn't she getting the plimpies for the plimpy soup? Yeah. Like,
right.
What are you talking about?
I'd threaten to go out to the river and find her and gauge his reaction.
I'm going to go out and get her.
He'd panic mode. That's how you know he's probably like,
going to go down to the river.
Living in a van down by the river. I hope you know what that's about. You don't, I can tell.
Nope, but you didn't know what mine was about either.
Yeah, Katie's was from Bridesmaids. What was yours from?
SNL.
Oh. Okay, Discord discourse. William, if you look at a timeline from Hogwarts founding, it's highly likely that Slytherin's grandchildren or great-grandchildren are the Peverils through a female heir because the Gaunts were descendants of both.
Love that.
Oh.
It's pretty cool. Mia, it feels icky that Xenophilius is running the story. It's understandable in one thing to snitch on Harry and call the Death Eaters, but running the story hits harder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I said earlier, I wonder if he was forced to run that.
I feel like
or if it was his own idea saying, hey, I'll do this if you give her back.
Yeah.
Or just, hey, I'll do this because I want her back, not an if. Because I feel like he's not really in a position to be like, let's trade these with them particularly. I don't know.
Yeah. Kendra, despite Hermione's seemingly lack of compassion with Marietta, she shows compassion here by making sure that the Death Eaters see Harry for Xenophilius' sake.
I think it's for Luna's sake.
I think it's for Luna's sake too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would say at this point, she does consider Luna a friend.
Oh, yeah.
All right, for fan sure. Story time.
Okay, this one comes from, thank you for the pronunciation, Ayelet Naaman. Let's do this.
Do it.
Hi, ladies. I finally decided to share my Potter story with you guys, but first, let me introduce myself. My name is Ayelet Naaman. Don't worry, here's the phonetic way to pronounce it.
Bless.
I really appreciate
Bless.
It.
Bless.
My name might sound weird because I'm from Israel.
Hello.
Your name does not sound weird.
No.
It's very nice. I'm probably on the older side of your listeners. I'm 46 and a single mom by choice of two boys aged 7.5 and 3.5.
Those are magical ages. Mm-hmm.
I just recently did my sorting wand and Patronus quizzes on Pottermore, and the results are Gryffindor, Dogwood with unicorn core, 10 inches and slightly springy flexibility, and Patronus is a crow.
Oh, they're so smart.
I love crows.
Caw.
So I first came across Harry Potter at my university, Hebrew U in Jerusalem, bookstore when I was 22, I think. I heard that it was supposed to be good, even though it's a children's book, so I bought it, read it, and loved it.
Mm.
My younger brother had the second book, but never read it, so I took it from him, and not long after I finished it, I was glad to spot Prisoner of Azkaban in a bookstore on my way to work. After that, I had to wait for the rest of them. In the meantime, I lent my books to my grandmother, who read and loved them and enjoyed discussing them. We enjoyed discussing them. Because it would take some time before the books were available in stores here, thankfully I read in English, so didn't have to wait for the translation to Hebrew. Actually, Mike made my cousin buy me Goblet of Fire when he traveled to the UK, and then I got Order of the Phoenix when I was on a layover in London on my way to the US to visit family. I was so happy to see the size of the book because I had a long flight to the West Coast with a long connection to DC. Needless to say, I read throughout the entire time. My grandmother, who's 92 now, was the one who pre-ordered the last two books for me, and it was extremely hard to stop reading and go to work during Deathly Hallows.
Yes. That's why I left work.
Oh, no. I have to go home.
I'm so sick.
I saw all the movies, but I admit I don't like them much. I mean, they're fun, of course, but not very good, in my opinion. I read and reread the books multiple times and listened to the audiobooks, Stephen Fry version, a few times. I find that I turn to Harry Potter every time I am in need of some good escapism. Now is such a time as the political and all-around situation here in Israel is unstable and worrisome, but I won't get into it as I know you try to stay away from politics. For this reason, I was looking for a podcast about Harry Potter and luckily found yours. I am way behind. It's still 2019 in your podcast world, but I enjoy you tremendously and you make me laugh. So thank you for that. I can't wait until my son, who's 7.5, to start reading Harry Potter. I bought the Sorcerer's Stone for him, but he is currently into other books, so I have to be patient. I plan to read it with him, as this will be my first time to read the Hebrew translation.
Cool.
This turns out to be very long, but hey, this is my story, and I stand by it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Keep on with your excellent work. I yell it.
Thank you so much for your story.
Thank you for your story.
I love that your grandmother was the one who, like, pre-ordered them for you. I feel like a lot of people have, like, opposite stories with their grandparents in this. That I did. But I think that that's really cool. And I hope that your kids also enjoy whenever they get there. Joke.
Guys, these are so dumb.
Lay it on me.
They're all dumb.
So?
Just give us a dumb one. Yeah, give us a dumb one.
Okay. On what day were Harry Potter's aunt and uncle the meanest to him?
All of them.
True. On Thursday.
I like that. What do you mean it's dumb?
It's not funny.
Yeah, it is. I laughed.
It's so dumb. It's funny.
Sure. Love it.
All right. If you would like to follow us on social media, myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at the Peaches Family. And Tiffany is on Instagram at tiffswish_flick. I don't know. Did we get a bingo? Mike, does that make you have a bingo?
I saw someone.
No, get out. Me and no.
I saw someone was so close.
It's not from your house.
Bingo for Slytherin.
Stupid.
So, Michigan Mike.
Oh, that's true. We did.
Got a bingo.
God, he's just winning left and right.
Which means...
Grounded, you could have had, too. Quit. You keep rubbing your little tootsie toes on my leg.
Tootsie toes!
So, Slytherin got a bingo.
Tickling me a little bit.
And the House Cup standings are, hold on, they're coming.
Michigan just keeps winning.
Gryffindor is in first.
Did we put trivia points in here?
Oh no, I forgot.
Then this is all a lie.
Yeah, you're right. Gosh darn it.
Passionate.
Look at Kay knows what's up.
Yeah, Gryffindor, I'm afraid we might not have our first place. But, you know, we can't add them right now, though. That'll have to be a later date.
Yeah. All right.
Take those points with a grain of salt. Bingo squares did get updated.
It's you, girly.
Oh, yeah, hey. This is for us going to Disney! And that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. And don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing. Just my voice.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up.
Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.